leadership internationally. And so we also see other nation states coming to the summit that are allegedly climate leaders, when in fact they are on the ground, not recognized by people in this way. For example, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, an alleged climate leader in the world that's been invited by President Biden, hopes to actually keep oil and gas pipelines flowing. Differently than Biden not canceling the Dakota Access Pipeline and Enbridge Line 3, Justin Trudeau actually purchased the pipeline, the Trans-Canada Mountain Pipeline. And since the pandemic, has bailed out the oil and gas industry upwards of $20 billion during the COVID-19 pandemic. And so what we see in this climate leader summit is that, like Biden, Trudeau isn't a climate leader. These are climate clowns that mime and perform the rhetoric and language of climate justice and environmental justice, when in fact, in material ways, are committed to extracting fossil fuels.
Professor Miley and Professor Yazzie, we're going to ask you to stay with us. And on this Earth Day, we're going to do a special post-show conversation that we'll post online at democracynow.org. I want to thank you both for being with us. And congratulations on your book, published today, The Red Deal, Indigenous Action to Save Our Earth. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO's Earth Day special programming is supported by our members and by the Columbia SLU Watershed Council's SLU DIY House Party, an excuse to let loose. An online benefit on Friday, April 23rd, with live music from Wren, the Matisse's Latin Ensemble, and DJ Mr. Mom. Tickets and more information can be found at columbiaslu.org.
On April 20th, a new coalition of environmental justice groups called the Braided River Campaign launched their first call to action. Meeting by the Port of Portland's unused Terminal 2, they held a press conference demanding that the City of Portland declare the Portland Harbor, currently a Superfund site, a green working waterfront, and to get busy making this transformation a reality.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. My name is Mamelang Memela, and I use she, her, hers pronouns. And I work at the Portland Harbor Community Coalition, and I'm also a member of the Braided River Campaign. Before we begin, I will start with a land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that we are on the traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Kathlamet, and Clackamas bands of Chinook, Tualatin Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia River. The Multnomah are a band of Chinooks that lived in this area. We thank the descendants of these tribes for being the original stewards and protectors of these lands and waters since time immemorial. We acknowledge that Portland, Oregon has the ninth largest urban Native American population in the United States, with over 380 tribes represented in the region. We also acknowledge the systemic policies of genocide, relocation, and assimilation that impact many Indigenous and Native American families today. We are honored to be guests upon these lands and waters. We pay our respects to elders, both past and present, who have stewarded this land throughout generations through today. Today, we're calling for the City of Portland to declare the Portland Harbor a green working waterfront where good jobs, a clean river, and community values are at the center of development. We have some great speakers who are also community members, leaders, and activists here with us today, and I'm excited for you to hear from all of them about their work. We came here today to share our vision and the work that we've been doing over the last few years that has led us here for the future of the Portland Harbor that centers social, environmental, economic, and health justice for all people who live, work, and recreate in the river. So without any further delay, I'm going to invite Elijah and Samantha to start us off this morning. Thank you all for being here.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here. My name is Samantha Hernandez, and I am a member of the Braided River Campaign. We are standing here today in solidarity with the seafarers who work on the ships in the Portland Harbor. The donation drive going on today is in support of the Pacific Coalition for Seafarers and their vision to uphold the dignity, rights, and welfare of seafarers. We are also excited to exhibit a series of portraits depicting people who have lived, worked, and died along the Willamette River. This project is a form of memory activism and serves to prompt a public conversation about the past and future of this river, which is part of the main reason why we're gathered here today at Terminal 2 on this beautiful morning. The Braided River Campaign is here to declare a green working waterfront. We will be hearing from speakers who have a stake in the future of this river, who come from various backgrounds, areas of expertise, and lived experience. This grassroots vision is committed to social and environmental justice. A green working waterfront is simply one that is climate resilient and home to a clean river and good jobs. One of our favorite campaign slogans is taken from a PSU professor named Dan Sullivan, and it's time to raise a lot less corn and a lot more hell. And by hell, we mean actually including community input and community say in the future of this river, and letting citizens actually exercise their political power. Residents who live on or near the river no longer want to breathe polluted air. They no longer want to walk along the shore and see dead zones. They no longer want political processes that prioritize profits over people. The community has solutions to repair these injustices, and that's why we're here.
Thank you, Samantha. Hey, everyone. My name is Elijah Cetus. I'm a campaign organizer with Portland Harbor Community Coalition, and along with so many of my friends here, I'm a co-founder of the Braided River Campaign. So we're here to build a grassroots vision for the future of the Portland Harbor. And I want to talk for a second just about where we are right now. This is Terminal 2, which is a Port of Portland property adjacent to another terminal that has already been redeveloped into condominiums along the river. This site has sat vacant for years, and the only proposal for this area was to build a baseball stadium. That proposal and that future is now uncertain. This area stands for so many of the questions and the problems that the Portland Harbor faces. Right here is part of the Giles Lake Industrial Sanctuary, a manufacturing, industrial, and fossil fuel storage hub that houses collectively upwards of 340 million gallons of petrochemicals. It's a privatized space, and it's a space where community lacks the access to reach fishing sites, to reach the water. And we know that in time, these fossil fuel storage tanks are a ticking time bomb. They stand on liquefiable soils, and if the mega earthquake hits this area, it will be a massive, massive catastrophe. So we're here today to talk not only about what the problems are, but about the solutions. This area is also part of the federal Portland Harbor Superfund site, and so many community members here have been fighting for the past 20 plus years to have this area cleaned up. And we're making huge progress, but we have to keep fighting. I also want to acknowledge that this river is an ecologically important stretch of river. It's a resting place for salmon, and it's a place that is still governed by the treaty fishing rights that are the highest law of the land. We are also facing a climate emergency, and we know that we have less than 10 years to seriously turn around our economy to be built towards sustainability, clean energy, jobs, and the benefit of frontline communities who have borne the brunt of these impacts for so long. So none of us holds a total part of the future. Like the three blind men and the elephant, we each can see a part of it based on our experiences. So I'm so glad to be here with so many wonderful speakers, so they can tell you about the work that they've been doing for so long and about the future that we're gonna collectively build together. Thank you so much. I wanna invite up to speak first Sarah Taylor. Sarah is a midwife, a Linton resident, the former principal of Sunnyside Environmental School, and a local historian here on the river. She's responsible for, I think, radicalizing many of us and teaching many of us about the history of this area through her environmental justice tours. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name's Sarah, and I'm here because I believe that we can have a new vision for this stretch of harbor. And I believe that it can be something very different in the future, and that I'm asking you that are here to join me in imagining what that could be. It is true that I am a midwife, and I've delivered thousands of babies in Portland and in Haiti and in different countries around the world as a volunteer in the last years. And what I've learned is that being a midwife is not simply about catching a baby. Mothers deliver their babies, but it's also about making sure that that world that that baby is being born into is safe and clean, and that the environment that that baby is growing in is not polluted. I came back from Haiti once, and I dove into what was happening along this river, kind of like because I made the midwives in Haiti do it. So they said, well, will you do it when you go home? And I said, okay, I will. And then I found out that the chemicals that were in the water and in the air and in the soil were not good for babies, that was causing harm. And that when they said people had high maternal mortality rates, I came to understand that it was the chemicals that are in our soil and water and our air. And I became committed as a midwife, not just to delivering babies, but also making sure that the environment that mothers and teenage girls are living in is safe. So that's kind of how I dove deeper into this work. This stretch of land, as you know, was once the most prosperous economic model almost anywhere. It was this amazing economic model that where for thousands of years they took care of their families by taking care of the environment. It was a very successful model. That model was interrupted but not destroyed, I want to say, because it's going to come back. With all of us, we can learn from those people that were here for thousands of years. We can learn those lessons, and we can restore this model. The model that we were presented with by European corporations who came to this stretch of the river was that we can use our natural resources, and when we've used them all up, we'll either bulldoze them down and start over, or we will go to a new place, a new country, a new part of the world, and we will repeat that use and destroy and use again. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work. It won't work because of climate. It won't work because of the damage it's doing to our children. It won't work for many, many reasons. So we are offering not just our heart dream, but we're offering a practical solution to our future. This stretch of land is indeed called a sacrifice zone. When you throw away your garbage and recycling and leave it at the corner, that garbage is going to North Portland. When you turn on your gas stove, that gas is stored in North Portland. When you fill your car with gas, that's coming from North Portland. Right now, we have miles of fossil fuel trains parked next to a daycare center in Linton. We know that there was a community of thousands of people in this area. We know that there were three lakes, that there were creeks coming down off the hill. We know these things existed and that they took care of us. So this is a sacrifice zone because Portland, over many, many decades, decided their garbage, their sewer, their gasoline should all be put in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city. And they call it an industrial sanctuary. I want a new vision for a very wounded piece of land. We have masks on because of COVID, but we need to put on a mask around what is happening in this area. We can be the best green working waterfront in the world. We can, years from now, look back and we will say yes. When I was young, this was full of tanks. The river was polluted and people will be saying, it's so nice now. People are fishing, it's beautiful. But to do that, we are gonna ask the city of Portland, the state of Oregon, Multnomah County, and the Port of Portland, Prosper Portland, we're gonna ask everybody to come together and declare this a green working waterfront and make every piece of planning, every decision reflect that deep, deep commitment to our future. And we can do it. It is not impossible. We have to believe that clean jobs, clean river is more economical than the model that we have been given, which has not worked. Let's dream big and make this really happen. Right now, we're just doing a press release, but there will be much more to come as we work on the economic opportunity analysis and we keep pushing for this dream. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Sarah, for that dynamite speech. Sarah is definitely like the heart and soul of this campaign, and she just brings so much in wealth of experiences and knowledge. Thank you, Sarah. Our next speaker is going to be Michael Pouncil, who is the chair of the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Recently, the Port of Portland told us that everything is on the table to seek a shared prosperity in the Oregonian. This shared prosperity initiative is intended to spread the wealth to marginalized folks who have been impacted by the Port of Portland's decisions in the past. The Braided River campaign was aware of this lack of shared prosperity over a year ago and decided to look at the land use policies around Portland Harbor and the north reach of the Willamette River. Since 1891, the Port of Portland was created for powerful business and white men who benefited from the work that the Port of Portland provided. This Braided River campaign wants to see this economic and land use paradigm change so that people who have been left behind can be brought to the table to discuss what are the impacts, what are the benefits, and who benefits. This acknowledgement has not happened before, and it is because of grassroots organizations like the Braided River Campaign that we are here today and that agencies like the Port of Portland are taking significant steps into addressing past inequities. The Braided River Campaign, taking on a complex and confusing land use policy, like the economic opportunity analysis overseen by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, is a brave but necessary step to move into a future that is thriving ecologically and materially. And we're also fighting back against being shackled by the same old ideas of exclusion, limited benefit to community, and bureaucratic incrementalism. So I'm here today to ask all of you to join in the fight. And yes, it is a fight. It's a fight against 120-year-old ideas of only benefiting the few, while everyone else risks their health, their community, livelihoods, opportunity, ecology, and generational integrity of treaties that have to be respected for our Native brothers and sisters. just want to once again say thank you all so much for being here. Please keep an eye out for this dynamic new group that has come forward, and we hope to see you guys all in the future doing this work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. Now we're going to have Bob Salinger talk to us.
Well, thanks for coming out today. So this was once a braided river. It was a river that was so shallow that you could walk from side to side, not far from here. At Swan Island, you could literally walk from one bank to the other. It's a place where every salmon that uses the 187-mile-long Willamette River system comes through on its way to and from the ocean. The Willamette River flows north to the Columbia, and every salmon in this system has to pass through this degraded, polluted, and hardened stretch of river. And we have hardened this river. We have channelized it. We have deepened it. We have dredged it. We have stripped its banks, and we have covered its banks with cement. That's a bad place for salmon, and that's a bad place for people. This was once a fertile floodplain. These intersections of rivers, these confluence areas, are some of our most biodiverse hotspots. You wouldn't know that today, though, would you? Who here sees a floodplain? Not only have we hardened this river, but we've hardened the area around it. As you heard, this was once Guilds Lake. This was once wetlands. This was once areas that flooded and allowed the river to expand its banks. And what have we done? We have covered it in cement. We've stripped all the foliage. We stripped all the trees. And we have polluted. We have polluted in ways that are remarkable. This is a 10-mile-long, 2,000-acre Superfund site. Superfund is the terminology reserved for the largest and most complex polluted sites in the United States, and this is one of the largest and most complicated, among the largest and most complicated. We cannot call ourselves a green city when we have a 10-mile-long Superfund site running through the heart of it. And yet, the fish still come, but they suffer. There's a reason why our salmon are listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. And the wildlife still comes. Who here has seen the osprey flying around today? They're nesting right on that pole. And the last time I was here, there was a peregrine on the crane. And the time before that, there were two bald eagles on the crane. They can't just go somewhere else. This is part of their patterns of life. And they're going to come, whether it's trashed and polluted and degraded or not, and they're going to suffer. And of course, there have been people here since time immemorial as well. And have we shown them respect? No, we have not. And have we shown the people that are here today respect? No, we have not. This is a landscape that is toxic for people and for wildlife. And as much as we've hardened the river and hardened its banks and hardened its floodplains, we've hardened the processes that allow us to make change. Who here has heard of the economic opportunities analysis? A few hands. That is the process by which we determine the future land use of this area. Every 5 years, the city looks at its land use planning and determines whether it has enough industrial land in order to meet a state mandate that says we must have enough industrial land for the next 20 years. And who does that process? The city does it mostly behind closed doors with giant multinational industrial interests at the table, but not with you or me or frontline communities that are affected by this, not really with the workers that are affected by this, by the wealthy industrial landowners that are affected by this. And each time they come out and they determine that there's not enough industrial land, and because there's not enough industrial land, that precludes us from doing anything differently. We must find more industrial land because there is a deficit of industrial land. Take a look around you. Is there a deficit of industrial land? What we've heard, and I've been doing this since my beard was brown, what we've heard is that if we just had big sites, big open shovel-ready sites, industry would come, jobs would be created. And yet this site has sit vacant for years, and as you already heard today, they thought about putting a baseball stadium here. What kind of industrial job is that? There is progress. Each economic opportunity analysis has been better than the last. We've made progress. We've made progress in the environment. We've gotten the raw sewage to a large degree out of the river, but we still have a damn long way to go. And the way we're gonna get there is by this kind of grassroots organizing. So we're really proud to be part of the Braided River Coalition. And we are here today to demand a different vision, a different way forward, one that is inclusive, one that is green, one that provides good jobs, not fossil fuel facilities and liquefaction zones. One that includes green infrastructure, one that includes river restoration, one that integrates other community needs with industrial jobs. And jobs are important. Jobs are certainly important, but one that serves the workers, not the giant international corporations for which they work. So spread the word, because the EOA process is the key to forward progress. It's the first step among many, but it's the one that locks us in. And so many people have not heard about it or unaware about it. It's happening right now. Change is now. Thank you.
Our next speaker today is going to be Jerry Jimenez. She is one of the leaders in the environmental justice movement in Portland. She is also a co-founder of the Portland Harbor Community Coalition and was the director of diversity and civic engagement with the City of Portland. Thank you, Jerry.
My name is Jerry Jimenez. I'm a member of the Klamath Tribe, which is an Oregon tribe. People want change. They want to know change, and they also want to know how to do it, because most people who would want to organize don't have anybody around them to teach them, and it's actually pretty simple, but you have to provide the programs in order to do these things through nonprofits like the ones you've heard about here. When I was at the Environmental Justice Action Group in 2000, we had just defeated the expansion of the I-5 freeway and then the Columbia River crossing. These were a handful of people who lived in the neighborhood who stood up and said, no, people need to know what environmental justice means. Environmental justice means the people who are the most directly affected by the decisions being made need to be at the table. Not only just as a brown spot at the table, but as someone who is contributing their knowledge and everything else. Many times as we look at diversity, what we say is, oh, well, we have all the same people at the table. Maybe we should just get one brown or Asian or something else at the table to make a change. And that's so wrong on so many levels. You actually have people who are worth things, who are valuable, who have valuable knowledge, who should be at the table because their views are just equally, if not more, as important as the people who have been making the decisions. So for Portland Harbor Community Coalition, we got started because the potential polluters on the Willamette River, going back to 2000, we started working with the feds, the EPA, on developing a community advisory group for the Willamette Superfund. And at the time, it was only supposed to last a couple of years. And here we are, it's 2021, and we're still looking at it. And it's because people stood up and did things, right? We have held off these major decisions that they wanted to close 20 years ago, and it's the conversation's still going on. The community has never given up on the Willamette River. It's a gem to our community, but it also needs to be different. As Bob Salinger was saying, I have a vision for the Willamette River. I want to see fish coming. In one conversation, one of the potential polluters said, was someday, he was saying this to a group of Spanish speakers, and he wasn't speaking Spanish, but he was saying, imagine someday you take your children out on the Willamette River and the people on the boat are saying, there used to be things living down there. They used to be called fish and you could catch them and eat them, but that doesn't happen anymore. That's the most heartbreaking story I ever heard in my life. Are you kidding me? The salmon are our lives to many of us. salmon are very healthy food for people. We need to have an industry, not a farm, not a salmon farm industry, a salmon industry where they're allowed in clean places to be able to be a part of our community again. As he was explaining it, I was like, you just think all these people just have no knowledge, no sense, no nothing. You can just talk to them in any old way. And throughout my experiences, both with government and outside government and organizing, what I find is, as long as people can say, no, that's not going to work, and we believe it, they can get away with it. But the reality is, they can't get away with it when we say, no, that's not going to work. Sorry, we're living in a different time. We need a better cleanup of our river because we plan on being here for a really long time. We need jobs over here for people. And it can be a green economy. Don't let people tell you it can't be. You have to push on them. We have to go beyond just accepting what people say is, no, that can't be done, or, oh, we need 24% industrial because we decided that's how much it should be. We need a serious redistribution of wealth on how we're spending our budgetary monies and going out into communities that need the help. People need opportunities. People want purpose. People want to move forward, and they could be working out there on that river, making a living wage and doing great work. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Brady River Campaign's first call to action, held Tuesday, April 20th at Terminal 2 at the Port of Portland. To find out more about the Brady River Campaign, go to bradyrivercampaign.wordpress.com.
We're disconnected from the trees. Human touch replaced by screens. Entire species are dying. Migrating climate refugees. But our complacency ends here. We have demands, they're loud and clear. We pulled the wool off of our eyes, and we will call them out on their lies. When they push us down, we will rise back up. We will